Our scripture today comes from Galatians, the 5th chapter. Hear now the word of God. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For those are opposed to each other, to prevent you from doing what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I am warning you, as I warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. And those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I want to start with two questions for you this morning. The first, you don't have to answer out loud, but I want you to think about: when's the last time you heard a really good sermon about licentiousness? And the second question is this: do you really think I'm going to give you a sermon on licentiousness my second Sunday here? Just think about those two things and know that the answer to the second one is no. But the things that we learn are foundational. They impact us. One of the things that is foundational to me in my understanding of God's love is Vacation Bible School that we celebrated today with our children through the volunteers, through the efforts, through the leaders. Last week was my first week to preach with a pineapple in the pulpit. This is my first week to preach with a space helmet in the pulpit. But thanks, Major Tom. But we went to Mars and beyond. We learned about God's love for us and God's love for the whole world. And it sets a foundation. It sets a precedent. And what a gift for us to welcome children in this space, to give them the freedom to be here, to break bread with strangers, even when breaking bread is pretzel sticks, goldfish, and M&Ms. What a gift to welcome children into this place. I got to experience the morning assembly time and the afternoon closing time. I got to participate and sit with kids as they wiggled in these very pews, as they put their feet wherever they pleased. Their dancing, their singing was a breath of fresh air because they were welcomed in this place, because they felt the freedom of Christ in this place, because this church welcomed the children. Now, we love freedom as a society. We love to talk about freedom. And we do it in all manner of ways, don't we? We write about it, we chant about it, we sing about it. Half of our political battles, when you break it down, are disagreements about how we understand our freedoms. And we have a holiday this week coming up where we take a day to remember and give thanks for the freedoms that we share. Our love for freedom and our insistence on freedom makes me wonder, however, what do we mean by the word freedom? Because we all mean many different things when we talk about freedom. Oftentimes we think about freedom as freedom from something. Maybe when you've finally finished your Whole 30 diet, or you're on your cheat day, or you've gotten the beach body that you've desired, and you choose to eat whatever you want. You have donuts for breakfast, Waffle House for lunch, ice cream for a snack, pasta and heavy cream for dinner with creme brulee for dessert, and maybe even a midnight snack of homemade cookies. And at night, when you're sick and you reach for the Rolaids or the Tums, you think, this is what freedom tastes like. Freedom from restraint. When you were a teenager and you stayed out late past your curfew, or maybe you're a teenager now, you think freedom is breaking free from the rules of your parents. And when you sneak into bed late, crawl into bed after a late night out, you think this is freedom until your dad comes in at 6 o'clock and says it's time to do yard work. Freedom from the rules over you. Or maybe freedom is as simple as standing in the cereal aisle at the grocery store and counting the options that you have before you and realizing that as a grown adult, you still reach for Cinnamon Toast Crunch because you've got freedom. Freedom of choices, freedom from limitations, freedom from rules, freedom from obligations. That's one way we think of freedom, as freedom from something. And our world is enamored by this kind of personal, individualized freedom, a freedom that is self-determined, that is unrestrained. And as a country, we fight tooth and nail to protect this freedom for ourselves and for others because we love the freedoms that we have. And when we read scriptures that talk about freedom, our ears perk up. We sit a little bit straighter with new interest and vigor as these words are before us. Paul writes in the Galatians that we read this morning, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery, for you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters." Perfect. There's our freedom verses forever and ever. We could take these two verses out of the context of Galatians and make them our rally cry as we fight for individual rights, for personal choice. We could get Galatians chapter 5, 1, 13 tattooed on our arm because we have the freedom to do so. Who's joining me afterwards? No, I'm not going. But it's not the individual freedom that Paul is talking about here. For Paul, freedom does not mean the freedom from that we like to think about, that self-determined freedom. In fact, it means something quite different when Paul says, become slaves to one another. How can we talk about freedom and slaves to one another in the same breath? And yet Paul offers that because every time he visited a church, something seemed to go wrong. And so these letters that he would write, these correspondences back, would be a way that he could correct the teaching. Paul showed up to the churches in Galatia and preached freedom in Christ, grace of Christ, the love of Christ. And when Paul left, the other teachers came behind and said, well, that's close, but you forget that there are other rules that we have to do. And there are things that you must do to become a true person of the faith. See, the churches in Galatia that were being adopted into the way and adopted into the life of Christ were made up of two types of people, the Jewish followers and the Gentile followers. And in chapter 3 of Galatians, Paul says, it is no longer possible in Christ to be slave or free, to be Jew or Gentile, to be male or female. Because the false teachers that came behind Paul would say, well, Paul said you're free in Christ, but really you have to follow all the Jewish laws that come before. So convert to Judaism first and then become a Christian, which means that you're taking on a different set of rules, some dietary laws and the law of circumcision. And Paul was saying that's not what freedom in Christ means. Leading up to this fifth chapter, Paul has used a variety of rhetorical tactics to convey his message, from allegorical and metaphorical uses of scripture to what basically amounts as passive-aggressive writing or shaming. Paul is trying to help the Galatians understand new ways that Christ can lead them in the gospel. Paul wants this message to be very, very clear, is that the righteousness that the followers of Christ seek is not dependent upon what they do, but is dependent upon everything that Christ has done in their lives. And so Paul wants to talk about freedom for something. And so we encounter the flesh and we encounter the spirit. Now, most of the time in our world, when we think of this flesh and the spirit, we think within ourselves. The desires, as Paul says, to do the things that I want to do, but doing the things that I ought not to do, the flesh. And the spirit is doing the things that I want to do and not doing the things that I don't want to do. But Paul wants to take that idea of spirit and flesh and move it from our individual selves into our corporate selves, into our life together. Because that list that Paul gives is not just a list of southern sins. Don't drink, don't chew, don't go with girls or boys that do. Paul is saying that these habits are destructive to the community. They're not just destructive to yourself, but they're destructive for everybody who calls upon the name of Christ. It's not just a list of don't do these things, but it's a way in which we are setting ourselves to do the things that God wants us to do. For Paul, when he writes about the flesh and the spirit, he's writing about the flesh that we all share. And he's writing about the spirit of God that is at work. Paul is writing about the cosmic battle between good and evil in our world, the things that we can look at and say that is not of God, and the places that take a little bit more grace for God's love to show forth. And Paul says, "For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another." Freedom is for the sake of each other. And it is not to be exploited or exploitative. It is not to be abused and it is not to be abusive. It is not to be oppressive and it is not to oppress. But the freedom that God gives us is freedom of love. The things that freedom of the flesh affords us are immorality, idol worship, outbursts of rage and gossip, but the Spirit of God gives us love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So how do we shape those fruits in our lives? Because we all desire those practices that shape our freedom. And when we see things like policies and procedures in our life, we try to create a solid foundation for them. We want to put the Spirit in its place so that we can understand it. But the Spirit is wild and it is free. It gives us life. The Spirit blows where it will, producing fruit where it will, sowing seeds where it will. And the fruit that comes from freedom is not based upon us, but has everything to do with the Spirit of God. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Therefore, stand firm. Because the flesh will use freedom that is good and right as an opportunity for self-gratification, for self-dependence, for self-sufficiency, for self-conceived truth. Paul writes to the Galatians that this is not the freedom for the individual, but it is freedom for being bound together in love in Christ, by being a slave to one another, but by doing so in love. The love that was the defining example in Jesus Christ. So again, with Paul, I say, do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the self-indulging deceptions of the flesh, but become slaves to one another. Well, what does that look like, you may be asking? In a world where we find ourselves bound and enslaved to the powers and the principalities of darkness, where hope seems to be lost, where do we see this spirit blowing? Sometimes it's in the most oppressive places that seem to have the least amount of freedom. There's a house church that meets in Durham, North Carolina, and because they are a house church, they don't have any one place but meet in various homes to pray and to worship, to share concerns. And one of the places that they meet, the fifth Sunday of every month, is the Butner Federal Prison, which is a home to federal inmates, even though it is not free. And this group of house church Christians, along with students from the university, attend chapel and worship with the inmates at Butner Federal Prison. Over the years of worshiping, this group of house Christians heard stories about the ways that the flesh claims turf in prison. Divisions and hatred are prevalent both in relation to personal sin and communal sin. There is no better place, no better picture of this reality than the way in which the prison church talk about their cafeteria or prison yard experiences, where white and black and brown are separated intentionally and unintentionally, sometimes for safety's sake, sometimes self-selected in different ways. They share how people are divided in that room based upon the social sins of racism and segregation, and at how times people are divided because of their own sins, because of the crimes that they have committed. They sit according to their level of crime, their level of sin. And the realm of the flesh is present there. But when the prison worship service starts and visitors walk into that place, they are greeted by people who look differently, who might be sitting in different places in the cafeteria, who might be at different corners of the prison yard, but are welcomed and welcoming. They're welcomed by diverse of skin color, diverses of nationality, of racial groups, of crimes and sins committed. And in those moments, there is the Spirit. It is short-lived, but it is present for those who go and worship together, because it is marked by the fruits of love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Surrounded by walls and feeling like they are trapped, for those moments where the Spirit of God is there, they are kept and they are known as children of God, and they are welcomed. And that's what living in the Spirit looks like. That's what it means to be free for service. That's what it means to be free for one another in love. Paul's words come alive there in the Butner Federal Prison. For freedom, Christ has set you free. I know that our week hangs upon freedom. We anticipate and make plans for how we will celebrate the 4th, how we will remember our freedom and the freedoms that we are afforded. It's one of those great traditions that I appreciate, just like Vacation Bible School. For me, growing up, July 4th was a special holiday. Moving around, we didn't ever really have a home. We had homes, but we didn't have a location. But we had my grandparents' lake house on Lake Martin in Alexander City, Alabama. My dad's parents, George Thomas Martin Jr., for whom I share the name, and Grace, had an old Russell cabin, 2-bedroom, 1.5-bath, no heating, no air, an air conditioning unit, but lots and lots of space. And our tradition was to take the week of the 4th and be in this place, and that was home. It's where I found freedom. As I've said, my grandfather, George Thomas Martin Jr., it was his and my grandmother's place, and George Pop was a World War II veteran who was a gunner on a B-17 Flying Fortress. His plane was shot down over Africa, and he spent time in a prisoner of war camp, something that I didn't understand or appreciate, but I knew what a Purple Heart was, and I saw it displayed in the living room at their house. Now, my grandfather, when I was a young kid, was the image of God for me. He was gruff, he was not mean, but he didn't say much. But he was there. That's what I pictured when I saw God. My grandfather always had three things with him: a glass of brown liquid, a Louis L'Amour Western book, and an ashtray. And he gave guidelines and rules, most notably as you don't dip your Oreos in milk at his dinner table. I dip my Oreos in milk today, but not at his dinner table. He was a rugged man for whom I know sacrificed a lot and never talked about a lot. And this tradition of July 4th was spent with friends and family coming over to our lake house, because at the time we had one of the best views on the lake to see the fireworks before they moved it to the other side. And so we all gathered and shot our little bottle rockets or Roman candles and had a good celebration. And then when the show started, the big guns fired off. The fireworks and the loud booms that shook your chest and rattled your feet and rattled the windows. So as the fireworks started on the 4th of July, I became a nuisance to the adults because I got scared. I tried to hide and move between the legs of the older adults who were just simply there to enjoy a peaceful moment. And I was invited to go inside and wait until the fireworks show was over, where I found Pop sitting there by himself. This gruff man looked at me and said, "Cowboy, what are you doing in here? You should be outside enjoying the fireworks." And I responded, "Pop, sometimes the loud noises scare me." And I'll never forget what he said, and I didn't understand it till later. And he said, "It's okay, cowboy. Sometimes the loud noises scare me too." We have been set free, not from one another, but for one another. The traditions that we have, the traditions that we give to our children, and the welcome that we show in this place sets a foundation of welcome for those who will enter here. We can never know the depths of God's love, but we know this, that God has set us free, not from each other, but for each other. Freedom is when our faith meets our fear in Jesus Christ. It is for freedom you have been set free. Let us become slaves to one another in our lives, in our homes, and in our world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.